Thank you, Cindy. Thank you, guys, for our worship time. Let me pray for us one more time as we get into the Word. We thank you, Lord, for opportunities to hear your truth read and proclaimed. May this be a work of your Spirit in our hearts, producing the seeds of faith in your truth. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, last week, those of you who were here, I'm going to catch everyone else up to speed, but last week, you remember we started to look at the ascension of our Lord and that important teaching or doctrine in the life of the church. The modern church often neglects this teaching of Christ's ascension, but it should not be overlooked, and it should not be reduced to a minor event in Christian teaching. It is included in all of the Gospels, and it's included in all of the ancient creeds. And the important thing for us this morning to realize is this: Christ ascended, and then the Holy Spirit descended. Christ ascends, and the Spirit descends. Now, when you think about the mighty acts of salvation in Jesus Christ that God has given us, it includes, of course, the Lord's incarnation. He was born of a woman. He took on flesh as part of his nature, his ministry, his death, burial, and resurrection, and the ascension. And of course, we could add to that, if we wanted to, his second coming and the new creation that will come from that great event. But I want us to see there's an important relationship between the ascension of Christ into heaven and the descending of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. Now, remember our order of events. He died, 3 days later he was raised, and the resurrected Lord spent 40 days teaching the apostles, and then he ascended on high. 10 days after the ascension, the Holy Spirit came, giving a baptism of life to the church. Now, when we think about the ascension of our Lord Jesus, there's some things we need to keep in mind. First of all, it is an event in and of itself. It's not just a trick of levitation, although that must have been a wonderful thing to see as Christ ascended on a cloud and disappeared. It's an event, and that event is this: Christ was enthroned in heaven. He took his seat at the right hand of the Father. But it's also a transition. An event, his exaltation, and a transition as our Lord Jesus ended his earthly ministry and began his heavenly ministry. And that continues even now. Now, the writer of Acts is a man named Luke. He also wrote the Gospel of Luke. He was a physician and an historian, and a very good historian. And he's writing to present some facts to a man named Theophilus, the facts concerning Christ and the early church. Luke is not writing to give his ideas about religion. That's not what he's doing. He's here to present the facts to a man named Theophilus. And he gives a summary of the gospel in the first part of his teaching. I'm going to bring it up here. And I'm just going to read it to you if you can't see it. All right. Let's just move on. Can we just move on with that? Can't live without it. I'm going to give it one more chance. Now, here's the thing, Brad. If this starts going back to some commercials, it's got to go. It's going to have to go. All right. This is what he writes, the first verses of Acts chapter 1. In the first book, Theophilus, he was talking about when he wrote Luke, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up. He suffered for our sins, he was raised, and he was taken up. That's how he begins his gospel. That's the summary of our gospel and the summary that he gives at the beginning of Acts. Jesus is the unique Son of God. He is the Lord of all. He is the Savior of the world. And the ascension of Jesus to the right hand of the Father further confirms his glory in who he is. In our scripture reading that Cindy read for us in verse 9, "And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, the disciples were looking on, Jesus was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight." This is the enthronement of Jesus to the right hand of the Father. And the New Testament authors believe this was very, very important. They wrote of it often. The most often quoted Old Testament verse in the New Testament directly relates to the ascension. Many times, the New Testament authors quote Psalm 110 and verse 1, and here's what it says. "The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool." Very important. They understood the importance of his enthronement at the right hand of the Father, his exaltation. That's the event of the ascension. So the New Testament proclaims Jesus dying for our sins, rising from the dead, but further than that, sitting at the right hand of God, exalted, enthroned as the King of glory. The writer of Hebrews summarizes it this way: after making purification for our sins, that is the cross, after making purification for our sins, his atoning work, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. His heavenly work begins. Now, what are the benefits of this ascension? Before we come to take communion this morning, I want to give you four benefits, and there are more, of course, but four benefits of the ascension of our Lord. And these are very important to the New Testament authors and, of course, should be to us. The first one is this: when he ascended on high, he became for us our advocate, our champion, our spokesperson before God and all of heaven. In Hebrews chapter 4, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Therefore, let us hold fast our confession. What kind of high priest do we have? According to that verse, it says we have a great high priest. The greatness of our high priest is seen in this, in these words: he passed through the heavens. Now, what is this a reference to? Well, if you go back to the Old Testament, to the Old Covenant, there was a high priest in that day and time who could go into a place called the Holy of Holies one time a year. And he would walk through a veil. And when he walked through this veil, he came into the presence of God. He would disappear from the people for a few moments as he walked in the presence of God. And there, he would make atonement for the sins of the people. This ascension of Jesus gives the ultimate picture of what the Old Testament was looking forward to. We have a great high priest who has not just passed through a veil in a temple, he's passed through the heavens themselves and entered into the presence of God once and for all, not once a year, once and for all, and there makes our advocacy before heaven itself. Christ completed his priesthood ministry while on earth. He died for our sins. And then he took those very scars and ascended on high and were presented before heaven itself. He is our advocate. We have an assurance of salvation because we have an ascended Savior. Or maybe this verse will help. He is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him. You want to be saved to the uttermost? Draw near to God. How? Through him, through Christ. Since he always lives to make intercession for them. Even now, he makes intercession for us. Or this great language that John gives us in his letter to the church: I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the sacrifice for our sins, and not ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. We have an advocate with the Father. The ascension means the eternal scars of the Son's saving work are before the Father. Moses could not give us this assurance. The priesthood of Aaron in the Old Testament could not give us this assurance. Joshua's work could not give this kind of rest to the people. No, the Son of God and Him alone ascends to the Father and gives us this glorious assurance. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross and is seated at the right hand of God. That's it. He endured the cross, and now He is seated at the right hand of God. That's the benefit of the ascension, our salvation presented in heaven itself. And then He is our human representative before God. Remember, the divine Son of God came into our world. He came into time and space. He took on flesh. He was born of woman. He assumed our nature. He is the mediator between us and God. He is the divine Son of man who ascended on high. And listen, His elevation means we will be elevated. His ascension means we too can ascend into the presence of God. More on that in just a moment. So these are the first two ways that we can see the benefits of the ascension. What has He done for us? Well, He's become our advocate, and He is our human representative. He takes human nature into the presence of God. And my dear friends, when we are in Christ and we are linked to Him by faith, we too can go into the presence of God. But there's a third benefit to the ascended Christ, and that is He sends the Holy Spirit to indwell and empower the church. There were 10 days between the ascension and then the coming of the Holy Spirit. And I'm sure the apostles reflected on why it was necessary for Him to go. He had already spoken to them about this in John's gospel. He said, "I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away, ascend and go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send Him to you." Jesus' ascension was not meant to abandon the disciples, but to further bless them by the coming of the Holy Spirit, and to bless us by the coming of the Holy Spirit. His redemptive work must take place first. His life, His birth, His life, His death, burial, His resurrection, all here on this earth. And then He ascended on high and then sends the Spirit. His heavenly ministry begins with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the church. Pentecost is a direct result of His enthronement, His ascension and exaltation. And His ascension secures us. He says, "All power and authority has been given to me." There's a security in that. There's a glorious assurance because we have a Savior who is on an eternal throne. When Peter preached the first Christian sermon at Pentecost, is recorded in Acts chapter 2. He said this. This is part of his message. "This Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God," there we go, He raised Him up, that's the resurrection, "and He exalted Him at His right hand, we have received from the Father now the promise of the Spirit." That's part of His message. The death, burial, resurrection, ascension of Jesus, and then the coming of the Holy Spirit. "Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made Him both Lord and Christ." How do we know He's Lord? And how do we know He's Christ? That means Messiah or Savior. How do we know this? Well, His resurrection and His ascension. If you sit at the right hand of God, know for certain that He is both Lord and Christ. And ever since His exaltation and the sending of the Spirit, the kingdom of God has been expanding. And we're part of that, destroying the works of the devil, justifying sinners, crushing fear, the fear of death even, granting peace to weary souls, sculpting beauty from lumps of clay. This is all the work of Christ, making faithful disciples, all the work of the exalted Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit and the mission of the church. Ascended, sending the Spirit, the mission of the church, his heavenly ministry at work. Remember what Luke said in the very first verse of Acts. He said, I have dealt with what Jesus began to do and teach. That is the Gospel of Luke. Now I want to tell you what he continues to do and teach. That's the book of Acts. And that is today. It goes even into that. He still is doing and teaching. That's why he told the disciples this. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he had said these things, he was lifted up. It all goes together, friend. His ascension and the promised coming of the Holy Spirit. Now, let me remind you of something. The disciples were not ready to be witnesses of Christ until the Holy Spirit came. That kind of surprises me. I mean, if anybody's ready to be a witness, it's those who walked with him and talked with him and saw the miracles and saw the resurrected Christ and touched him. Yes, you would think they would be prepared to be witnesses, but they were not. Jesus said, wait for the coming of the Spirit. And if they were not ready to be witnesses until the coming of the Spirit, we certainly are not. It is for the witnesses of Christ that the Spirit comes. And when we ask for a fresh work of God's Spirit, and I pray we can ask that in our individual lives, in our homes, and in our church, when we pray for a fresh work of God's Spirit, then the ascended Jesus will certainly bless us as we seek to be his witness in word and in life. The first disciples, frightened, little sense of direction. But when the Holy Spirit came, everything changed. And of course, they watched him disappear, and they kept gazing up into the heavens. And remember, two angels came and appeared beside them. And the angels asked this question, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? You know, it's easier to gaze than to go. But the angel said, stop your sky gazing. It's all right. It'll be okay. The Lord who ascended on high will come again in the same way. He will come again. Meantime, he's enthroned. The Spirit has come. Now is the time to be in mission as the people of God. Let us not just gaze, but let us go. So, what are the benefits of the ascension? Well, Jesus is our advocate. He is our human representative in heaven, and he is recreating humanity in his own image, and we can be a part of that. And third, he sends the Holy Spirit. And the last thing, that I'll give you today, benefit of the ascension, is that he promises to prepare a place for us to go, to live with him forever. Listen to these words. Just one other scripture in John 14. These words are often given at a funeral, but they apply to the ascended Lord. He says this, Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? I'm ascending, I'm preparing a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. And I will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. He's gone to prepare a place. And he will come again. And this means you and I, by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, will be resurrected. And we can ascend into the very presence of God as Christ himself has done forever and ever in a new creation, in a new order in which Christ alone reigns. The glory of the ascended Christ preparing a place for us. Ellie Garcia, age 9, was one of the 19 children killed recently in the school shooting in Texas. She posted a TikTok. Does everyone know what a TikTok is? I'm not sure of the definition of that. I'm really not. But it's a video. It's a brief video. Shortly before her death, she posted this. And in it, her father actually put it on Facebook after her death. And in it, she says this. "Hey guys, I just wanted to give you a little catching up. Jesus, he died for our sins. So when we die, we'll be up there with him." Exactly. That's exactly what Jesus himself said. "I'm dying for your sins and I'm going to prepare a place for you." And then she adds this, "I have three pictures of him in my room." She was born June 4th. She would have been 10 yesterday. But now, the prepared place for her, she is in the presence of Christ. This is the wonderful glory of an ascended Lord. When Stephen, the first Christian martyr, is recorded in Acts chapter 7 and 8, when Stephen was filled with the Holy Spirit, he began to preach. And he preached that Jesus is Lord, and that got him stoned. And as he was being executed by stoning, he looked up into heaven and he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of the throne of God. In the midst of evil, in the midst of a world that can bring suffering at times and difficulty, and of course all of us will face death, there's a place to look. As Stephen looked and saw, there is one who stands at the right hand of the Father. There is an enthroned Christ. It's all right. And so the writer of Hebrews says, "Since he sits at the right hand of the Father, hold fast your profession. Hold fast the confession of faith that you have now and forevermore." Let us pray.